a game face on. Get ready for the tip off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you're playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause you're speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports or what's popping. It's four quarters of absolute rawness. If you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's
All Balls Don't Bounce, episode number 70.
Yeah.
70 times we have blessed this mic with our knowledge and wisdom on sports and culture, as we always do.
If you say like 70 times, you have to say it like Booker T when he was the five-time champion. We can't say
that's
it like
a
that.
That's a lot of times.
70-time champion.
We should just loop that.
We should. This is All Balls Don't Bounce.
That's right.
I am Will Strickland.
I'm Dwayne Watson. We are your weapons of media deconstruction.
And you know what? We're so corporate now because we didn't use our nicknames, yo.
Oh, shit.
And you noticed that, right?
So what else do people know you as?
Well, the syntactician, Wall Street, of course, the entrepreneurionaire, and all up in your girl's house. No, that's not what they know me as.
And Mr. what do they know? Mr. CID?
Yes, consider it done.
Every time.
But what do they know you as, sir?
Sweets, a.k.a. the cupcake champ. A.K.A. the squishing and dishing
condition. Yes, sir.
A.K.A. Swiss francs.
Oh, man.
I'm going to use that now. Swiss francs. I like that one.
But 70 deep, like you said earlier. Episode, Sam Huff, the legendary Giants linebacker.
Now, I think I have a distinct feeling every person we're going to quote is probably a linebacker.
Well, you know, the NFL draft is coming up.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I think it's Thursday, tomorrow. So I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about the draft, at least in a way.
Oh, in a way that we always tend to do.
The story behind the story.
And the special 70s you got there?
Artie Donovan, the greatest storyteller in Baltimore Colts history.
That's a finite group, though. Baltimore Colts, we're not talking like the Cole Colts
nobody's
franchise.
Nobody's going, hey, you know what? Johnny Unitas used to tell a great story. But Artie Donovan, number 70. So.
Okay.
But, you know, where can they find us, sir?
Well, for the 70th time.
Not actually, because some of these actually, we didn't have on with us.
You are right. Well, we're always on Podomatic.com. We're always in the iTunes Music Store. Now, you can find us on
Stitcher Radio.
And of course, you can email us at allballsdontbounce@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at Facebook/ABD Media. I think I got it covered.
Yeah, you do. And what we wish was covered was this situation with the Boston Marathon. If you've been living under a rock and you don't know what's going on, you know, they finally caught the two. Well, they killed one.
Yeah, one was killed in the shootout.
And the other one got somehow his throat got shot or
hurt. Oh, is that what that?
Because he can't make a statement now.
You know what's funny?
But Uncle Ruslan, he can. That's a whole nother can of worms that I don't even want to open up yet. Because it's moving away from sports.
Yeah, but no, definitely. But it happened during a sporting event.
Hey, the Boston Marathon. And I think the way that, you know, it's sad that it has to happen. Something like this has to happen to galvanize the city and to galvanize the country. But maybe every once in a while we need reminding. And nobody better to remind you than David Big Poppy Ortiz, who came out in front of the governor of Massachusetts. I was surprised as a black guy.
Really?
Reval Patrick is...
Interesting.
Yeah, he's
the
governor.
It's progress.
It's something. It's in Massachusetts.
Of all places.
Yeah, man. Yes. in front of your boy Thomas Menino. You know, when KJ and
that's right.
Hondo.
Hondo. He had another one too, though.
Yeah, for football.
Right.
Football.
Yeah.
He always slaughters the name of all the sports athletes there in Boston, the mayor of Boston, Thomas Menino. But David Ortiz came back to the lineup.
First game back
yeah.
in Boston after the bombings.
And he came out and made a impassioned speech.
He did.
That told you where he was at.
Yeah, he let them know.
This is our fucking city. I love that, yo.
Probably the only time an athlete would get a pass
hey,
for swearing it was addressing.
Almost, it was almost like a necessary evil.
Yeah.
Because it was like, we're making a stand.
Exactly. So,
shout out to Boston Strong and everyone who is trying to recover.
Yeah, and all the teams that are, you know, marching forward and representing their city.
No doubt. No doubt. You talked about marching forward. Is there progress in footy? Finally.
You know what?
How many times have we talked about
we've talked
Mario
about
Balotelli
it.
And
we've talked
different
about it so many times. So many incidents happen on the pitch with whether it's racist players or ignorant fans. And I think there's progress.
In what way?
UEFA, which I'm not going to break out because we talk about footy here, has instituted that any player getting involved with an incident of racist abuse will get a 10-match suspension.
Yes, you must say match.
10-match minimum. They say ban, but I'm saying suspension. If it's, you know, come on.
All right, and for a second offense, there would be full closure and a minimum fine.
No, that's banned. So the players get banned for 10 matches. Now, if it's the fans doing something, they'll do partial closures of the stadium, and the second offense, they're going to close the whole. It'll be a game in front of
and a minimum fine for the club.
Yeah,
of 50,000 euros.
Now you got to remember too, like these are big ass stadiums, so the fact that they're not going to be able to get revenue from fans. And then the fans aren't going to see their teams.
Yeah, I think that... Is it... So, do you think this measure will work?
I think it's strong enough to... You know what? I don't think it's going to necessarily be a deterrent. But once it happens, I think people will pay attention.
When it first happens.
Like, when the first offense happens. Like, because you know what? The fans are going to be the ones doing it first. The one dumb fan, one drunk, dumb hooligan...
I don't know. Like, some of these players... And, you know, it's only, it's supposed to be, you know, it's proposed. It's not set yet.
Yeah.
It's just proposed. Would affect all the matches across Europe, not just in England.
Yeah.
Where the hooligans are.
Well, we've seen that there's, you know, hooligans stuff in Italy with Prince. And, so, I mean, it's you know, all over Europe where it exists. So
let's hope this gets passed. Although, if Ron Artest... Met a world peace, played soccer, and he cuffed somebody up. I think they'd never let him come back.
Oh, they would never.
I could see it. I don't care what he does.
He's a marked man. He is. But I guess continuing with more progress.
Yes, sir.
We have some in the NHL. Now, the NHL supported gay rights and they're pledging to fight homophobia, which is great. But I kind of feel like on the North American side, it's a bit of lip service.
Why? What? Wait. Oh, you mean Mexico is lip service? Because they're part of North America, yo.
Sorry.
I'm just saying.
Okay. They're going to support gay rights, blah, blah, blah. I'm not knocking it. That's fantastic. That's great. Obviously, what's the name?
Patrick Burke.
Patrick Burke.
Who is Brian Burke's son. And who also
who had a job. But, right. Who has kind of been the leader behind this issue because obviously he's a gay
man.
His
son, yeah.
Yeah, which is great. But I mean, like, I'm kind of starting to get tired of this whole, like, if you look at where we started.
Oh, wait, 70 episodes ago. Wait. I was just looking for the slippery slope you were about to go down just now.
Hey, my footing is steady, my friend. If you look at where we started 70 episodes ago.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like. I keep referencing it like, I don't know. Anyways. But like we've been doing
a lot of gay stuff?
We've talked about it a lot. He almost got me on that.
That's the word. You know what?
But so, no.
That's what we're dealing with now. Is that, are we TMZing sports so much now that everything is about someone coming out and talking about their sexual preference as opposed to what they do on the ice, on the pitch, on the court, whatever.
And that's the thing, because now we were talking about it at a time when, you know, not that it wasn't cool to talk about, but we were bringing light to certain situations. Now that it's like kind of like the norm, not that I'm tired of talking about it, but
you sound like Kevin Durant being
Everyone is doing their thing now, whatever, and we've said on this show, both of us have said, whatever the people are doing, good for them.
Right. And I guess this is more about supporting the rights, and we have a lot of athletes who are in support of people, you know, it's cool. They're visible, they're out there, and if they say it, maybe it'll help to some degree.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there's always going to be someone who's like, I don't care about that shit.
Well, my concern has always been in sports. I mean, obviously we know about the testosterone in the locker room, or depending on which side of the locker room you're in.
Right.
More about the fans than about the players.
Right.
Like, we saw with the proposed UEFA ban, if it's 10 matches for a player, a soccer player in a season, is a lot of games. If I'm an athlete, I don't want to take that chance. I'm a fan, I don't care, because I'm here, I can say whatever I want, I paid for my ticket.
But if they close the stadium, it goes back to what you were talking about before. If they close it down because, you know, some foul-mouthed hooligans are wilding out in the stands, that's going to affect them as well.
Right.
So somebody's going to get stomped out before the end of the year.
Well, what I'm talking about when it comes to gay rights and other sports, let's say hockey, I feel a fan is going to be the one to say something before a player. So I'm not saying that all players
This is more about support than it is, you know, some player in the NHL was... They're more concerned with, like, sexism or something else, you know,
yeah,
than they are, you know, gay rights, because nobody would at least come out and say something like that. They're all good Canadian boys, aren't they?
Or American boys. Come on. You got a
the
lot
majority
of
the players in the
Dude,
NHL
you got some
are
good
Canadians.
American hockey players. You guys won. You guys are winning. You know something, you know your thing?
What does that mean? Americans are more prone to TMZ it up, but whatever.
Or like sensationalism.
Like Dennis Rodman going to Korea and coming back with some secrets. Hey, the FBI actually had the nerve to call international man of mystery, Dennis Rodman, in to talk about what was going on in North Korea.
I feel like they took their time on this one. Like, why was this happen? Like, did this happen a while ago?
No, it's not even... The fact that it happened in the first place.
Oh, I agree with you, but he's been back for over a month, and then all of a sudden they said, hey, what did you see over there?
You know
but,
what,
but
I
what
like?
What I like, though, hold on. What I do like is this quote was, when Dennis Rodman said, I know what Kim Jong-un is threatening to do regarding his military muscle. So he's basically saying he doesn't know what's going on.
Like, everybody knows what's going on. We watch the news.
He's trying to say he's
but what
he's, intel.
You know what he says, though? When he goes, I hope it doesn't happen because America will take whatever actions to protect America and our allies. But the thing that made me stand up for Dennis Rodman and what told me he doesn't have a snitch jacket, this is what he says. He's a good guy to me. As a person to person, he's my friend. I don't condone what he does.
Yeah.
He's a stand-up guy with his friends. If he considers that guy... Again, it's a propaganda thing. He could be cool. He still has Dennis Rodman's jersey from when he played for the Bulls. They could be cool. So it's like this. My relationship with you and my relationship with, say, you know, Robert Ori.
Right.
Who will have on like, our other show...
You just happen to pull that out of your
Well, you know. Yeah. I'm just saying, with Robert Ori, may be different. Robert might come to me and say, yo, your man Dwayne is an asshole.
Right.
I'm not, well, whatever your relationship is with him, is not my relationship with Dwayne. So, you know, to each his own, but
yeah.
I'm not going to judge Dwayne based on that relationship. And they shouldn't judge Dennis Rodman for his relationship with North Korea.
Well, and the fact of who he is, he kind of gets a pass because he don't know nothing about Viet Cong.
No, because
he's not getting caught up in that stuff. He, like you said, he's looking at him as a person. He's not. He knows the stuff he does.
True enough.
I don't want to hear it. This guy's a solid dude.
All dude.
You know what I mean,
all dude. Yo, you talked about they ain't know nothing about no Viet Cong.
I'm waiting for this transition.
Do we know something about some Notre Dame?
Oh yes, we do.
You know, it's an interesting thing that's going on at the university. Of course, Mr. Swarbrick has dealt with a lot of the controversy at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Has a pop star son coming to the school. John Bon Jovi. Jon Bon Jovi is a pop star, yo.
He's kind of a
Jon Bon Jovi is a rock star. He is a pop star now.
I don't think you can even call him a star, man. He's like pretty.
Jon Bon Jovi is huge, yo. Yeah. So what is it? A quasar? Like, what are you saying? A moon? A
neuron? All right. Well, Jon Bon Jovi's son, Jesse. Well, we have to clarify that Bon Jovi isn't really his last name.
It's right.
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
Yeah, so Jesse Bon Jovi is wants to be a walk-on at University of Notre Dame football squad.
And I guess he's pretty good. You know, he had a... and it's funny they even make mention of this conversation that we were talking about off air because it says he's the latest son of a pop star. So, see, I told you he was the pop star.
But so they're pre-criming.
I guess they are because they know I'm going to say some shit about it.
There you go. Why don't you speak on
it? So Jon Bon Jovi's son goes as a walk-on.
Right.
Next year, he works well enough to become a scholarship athlete.
Right.
Should he be required or asked by people to give his scholarship, the thing he earned, back to the schools for another deserving player because his father can afford it?
No.
So why did they go at Diddy and Snoop Dogg about it?
Because, I agree with you.
I think we talked about this. Diddy's son earned a scholarship to UCLA.
Right.
And Snoop's son is being recruited by a bunch of Pac-12 schools.
Yeah. And the argument was that, well, Diddy has money. Why should his son get a free ride to school when Diddy can afford to pay for it?
Because he earned that.
Exactly.
And it has nothing to do with daddy's money.
And, you know, now Jesse is not anywhere near the caliber level of Diddy's kid. So if he makes the team, which he has a long shot to do, he would have earned his scholarship as well.
So, but I guarantee you, and maybe I'm going down the slippery slope right now too, that he won't face the same type of scrutiny that Diddy's son did. I don't see it, yo. Come on, man.
Well, let's see how that works out. And I'm not going to make any bad Bon Jovi pun songs here.
Like what?
I'm not. Don't try and goad me into it, Wall Street.
What?
I'm not going to make any puns.
Well.
You're thinking about it, too.
I wasn't. But as we continue on this show and we get on that steel horse. A guy who might be wanted dead or alive.
Lance Armstrong. Who has been known to ride a steel horse.
Yeah, or something he was riding. But it was found that the government is now going to sue
the government.
Lance Armstrong for being, what was the term that they used to talk about?
Unjustly enriched.
Like bread. He was unjustly enriched. They said
I love that
term. Over a six-year period, they paid him over $17 million.
Right.
But they're going to sue him for triple that. Now, they have to also think about the value of having Lance Armstrong on their team because they made like in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Armstrong's lawyers are counter-stating, not counter-suing, they're counter-suing. They're saying, well, they're going to sue us for the money they paid him, but we, you know, you made tons of money and off of this
absolutely
thing.
Right.
So how can you, that's like them, you know, the Lakers paying.
All right, here's the thing. They went in the government, which I've called out before and said, you know, we talked about this a couple of years ago about, you know, the whole RICO case. And the whole thing, right? The government is now saying that we were duped into this. We were under the belief that Lance Armstrong was clean, that he was the only clean rider in the dirtiest sport of all. I don't think pro wrestling is as dirty.
No. Never mind, they're just up front. It's just everyone. No.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like pro wrestling before Vince McMahon came out and said,
yeah.
Everyone knew it was fake, but no one said
someone
it.
Someone pulled the curtain back on Oz and we see Lance Armstrong. And the thing is, the government made all that money because they were under the impression that this was the guy and he was clean and he wasn't lying to everyone. It's one thing to lie to everyone else. It's another thing, and even more criminal, to lie to yourself. And that's what Lance Armstrong has been doing for how long? We don't know. Even Rick Riley his biggest supporter was like on the on ESPN crying about it, saying the dude sent me a two-word email saying I'm sorry, and that was it.
Yeah.
After fighting for you for 14 years, you're a jerk, and that's basically who he's presented himself to be. This will not end well. You know he sold his house, right? His estate in Austin. He's moving into an apartment in Austin now.
Tough times. Where are you going to put all those Tour de France jerseys that he has?
I guarantee you won't be taking another picture with that shit.
Hell no.
Not even close. But
off the negative, onto the positive.
No doubt. Send a shout out to since we were last on, we missed the NCAA March Madness.
We just missed talking about
it. Right. But, shout out to Ricky Three Stacks, the Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Rick Pitino for winning his second national championship with his second team to do so.
Yep.
He won one in the same state.
Yep.
Kentucky. Exactly. And then one at Louisville.
Also, Gino
Auriemma. It's I think I want to give more stats to him, even though I don't like him.
Right.
For winning his eighth women's championship at UConn, they destroyed Louisville. If Louisville had won, do you realize they would have been the second team to ever won the men's and women's in the same season?
That's funny.
And both of those teams were from the now defunct Big East. UConn in 2004.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, which would make sense because then you guess who the coach was.
Gino Auriemma.
Yeah, the godfather.
Right? No doubt. So, shouts out to him for tying Pat Summitt for the most women's championships in history.
It's funny that a male finally caught up with her.
Yeah. Now, right.
You know what I mean? She was ahead of the game for so long. You've been
talking progress all day. The shift there all day. Also, want to give shouts out to Adam Scott, the first Australian winner of the Masters. You're not enthused.
That's one hand clapping. You heard that?
Yes, I did.
I mean, like, it's fantastic. The Masters isn't an easy win. Big up Down Under.
Keep it moving. Yeah. Damn. Well, shout out to Yale University. The oldest who finally won their first Frozen Four. I like that they call it.
I love Frozen Four. That's a great name.
Instead of the Final Four, Frozen Four, they finally won a national title in hockey. They're the oldest school that had a hockey program in the history of college hockey. They finally won, beating Quinnipiac.
Wow.
Quinnipiac College. So it's like maybe it would be like Louisville playing like Centennial. Oh, no, I'm playing. No. DeVry. Somebody right. like that. Or Everest.
So I should get excited about this one too, then?
Man, it's a shout out to Yale, yo. Whatever.
Next up.
Ronda Rousey. I like her, yo.
Ronda Rousey's badass.
But she looks good, too. She's kind of hot, yo.
Dude, no, she's going to help the game, man.
Well, she will be one of two of the first female hosts of...
Coaches.
Coaches for the Ultimate Fighter on... I guess Spike. Is it still on Spike?
Yeah, it's on Spike. Oh, that's it. I don't think I deal with FX. I don't know. I think they probably Spike's not letting that shit go. That's reality show.
And it doesn't even matter because the thing that matters the most is that a guy like Dana White, who said there would never be a market for women in mixed martial arts.
I actually have to challenge you. I don't attach Dana White to that quote, and I'll tell you why. But
it's not a quote.
No, because he didn't feel that there wouldn't be a market for it. He felt that there wouldn't be enough women to constitute having a division in UFC.
All right, so we'll clear that up. Yeah. But as you can see now, there are more and more women coming to the sport because of Ronda Rousey, including, we talked about Fallon Fox, who, I'm sure she's going to be on this season's episode because she's going to bring visibility to it and some real smart to it. That conversation we talked about a while back,
but
as a transgender person,
the interesting dynamic about Ultimate Fighter this year is that men and women are going to be competing, different not against each other, but of course, like every other reality show, there's a house, and men and women will be in the house together, and
it's going to be very, very good this season.
It could be like Real World and shit,
or something like Big Brother,
or the Mad Real World.
I haven't seen the Real
Mad
World.
Real World. Remember Dave Chappelle?
Oh shit! Yeah, that was good. That was the best one I've seen since the one with Heather B and those guys on it back in the day, yo.
That's you're going back.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Congrats to Danny Jacobs. Daniel Jacobs was a rising middleweight from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn goes hard until he got knocked out by Dmitry Pirog. I think a year or so ago. He has now overcome cancer. He is now cancer-free. A lot of that, he was saying that that was the reason why he lost. And like that's a legitimate excuse for losing. And I think, what was the cancer? It's like a bone cancer he had.
Yeah, he had bone cancer. Osteosarcoma.
And,
the rare form of bone cancer.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, he can get back in the mix because the middleweight division is very, very sexy. Right now between like 147 and 168 is serious, and hopefully he'll have a chance to show his wares, but shout out to him. And happy trails to Scott Fujita.
Going out like a G.
I love the way he went out, y'all.
Dude, shit's fucking so...
Signed a one... And he's one of the big supporters for equal rights in marriage as well. One of the most outspoken NFL players about it. But
you know what's funny? Just to go on that for a second. When he did it, people just started questioning
his sexuality.
Yeah, exactly. Because he was like...
So, but he's clearly his own man because he goes out to...
he gets a one-day contract. Does a one-day contract.
Gets a one-day contract to sign back with the team that he started with.
And won it all with.
Yeah, with the Saints. And was in Peru at Machu Picchu.
Yep.
Goes up on the mountain and signs his contract and then retires.
Yeah.
That's G status.
Yeah, he went with his former Saints teammate, Steve Gleason, who's battling Lou Gehrig's disease. They made the trek up the mountain and signed his contract, took a picture, and boom.
It tells you a lot about the kind of person he is.
If you weren't aware, then you definitely know.
Shout out to Scott. And also, if you want to talk about good people, like really great people, we know this is the last year for Mariano Rivera, the closer extraordinaire for the Yankees, who's going on his like farewell tour.
Yep.
But it's not just about him getting stuff. It's about what he gives back and what he's given to the game and just knowing how to leave the right way. It's said that during the season, he goes out and finds, you know, ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things as it relates to baseball maybe or not. And I think he stopped somewhere in like Detroit or something. I can't recall where it was, but he talked to a guy who was like a groundskeeper for 40 years for the Yankees, or not the Yankees, but the Tigers and everything. And then he saw some people in Cleveland as well. And it speaks to how exemplary a person Mariano Rivera is. He's the last person that will ever wear the number 42.
Yeah.
And baseball.
And he takes that very seriously.
He does. And, you know, the Robinson family is really in accord with him. Mm-hmm. I think that the thing they said at the end of the article here on ESPN, which I thought was great, is like when I talked about where he'd been at Detroit and Cleveland, he talked to the guy and he was telling the guy, the drummer from Cleveland, they had the guy in the outfield, remember from Major League or whatever, and they were banging the drum. Yeah. He's like, "You're the man." Like, he's like, you know, this guy was like, "Wow, this is Mariano Rivera saying that to me." So,
And don't forget, that guy's been being since 1973.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just knows how to do it the right way. And so,
happy trails.
No doubt to number 42, Mariano Rivera. Rest in power to Carl the Truth Williams, heavyweight contender, who died at 53. I remember that fight against Larry Holmes. Holmes, I think he knocked him out, if I'm not mistaken. But he was a good fighter, man. I mean, he put it on Holmes for you know, a little bit before he lost. And I thought he actually won in 1985, but that was the closest he'd ever gotten to the title.
He passed the complications from throat cancer.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Yeah. But rest in paradise and rest in power to Carl Williams. We're getting back to Yale, man. Happy birthday to Walter Camp, the father of modern football. He changed it from rugby to, when they created the line of script instead of a scrummage, line of scrimmage, and that is the thing that changed football forever.
So that's the Yale news I like to hear.
Okay, we'll go with that. happy birthday to Hondo. John Havlicek.
The original Hondo?
Right. Thomas Moreno. Why does he sound like Peter Griffin? I don't know. Anyway, Jim Lampley. Lamps had a birthday. John Madden. Boom! Had a birthday. The great Ralph Wiley. One of the greatest sports writers ever, in my opinion. Charlie Hustle. And I'm not talking about E40.
That's right.
It was Pete Rose had a birthday. Cynthia Cooper, one of the greatest basketball players ever. Well, lady basketball players.
Yes, definitely.
Four consecutive championships with the Houston Comets, who no longer exist. They were the foundation for the WNBA
to me. She was actually making it a problem for the WNBA when she was playing.
Why? Because she was that good. Because she was 34 years old.
She was 34 years old, and the dominance for... Yeah.
And dude, they won four straight titles.
Formative stages, and she was running the league.
Easily. So this is a league that had... This is a league that had Cheryl Swoops.
Yeah.
Rebecca Lobo.
Lisa
Leslie.
Yeah.
Tina Thompson. These are all, like, high visibility players.
Yeah.
Teresa Witherspoon.
Yeah.
See, we know a lot about WNBA, and people say we don't watch.
I know.
Exactly. But anyway, happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to the great White Hope, Jen Jeffries, who got his ass smashed by Jack Johnson. And we'll post something about why he was called the great White Hope. But on this day, we'll give him, you know, some love on his birthday. Let's give a shout out to Ferdinand Louis Alcindor.
Yes, sir.
Better known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was practically born the day the NBA was born.
Yeah.
April 16th, 1947, was right around the same time the BAA and the NBL came together and created the NBA.
They should have put him on the logo.
They should have. But, you know, they can't. You know, there's an interesting thing about the logo we should talk about later. Happy birthday to Sheldon Williams' wife. I don't know how you got her. Candace Parker.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Sheldon Williams. I don't know how you got her either.
Is there no justice in this world?
I'm waiting for, like, the worst baby dad show to ever be on, because he definitely would be on.
Why?
It. Not the worst baby dad, but, like, you know, like, you know, that ugliest? You know, like basketball wives, how it's like the wives of, like, famous players. Okay. Like the husband of a famous wife.
That would be it.
You know what I mean? His wife.
ABDB. Sanctioning bodies.
There you go.
No Romo. Happy birthday to Tony Romo. Happy birthday to the man who made it possible for LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Daryl Dawkins, and Kevin Garnett to come to the league early, amongst others.
Yep.
Spencer Haywood, who actually challenged the eligibility rule in 1970.
Yep.
And he was like the prototypical 1970s player. He was loved cocaine. He had a model wife. He could actually play basketball. Trifecta.
It's hard to manage both.
But happy birthday to him. I just wanted to say happy birthday to Vernell Combs.
Vernell. Bimbo. Or Coles. Combs.
Yeah. Bimbo. Just Bimbo. Who named him Bimbo, yo?
Well, it was a nickname.
Oh, okay.
But Vernell was bad. Almost bad.
Right? Well, the last birthday shout goes to our man, the only white man in the NHL with a black guy's name, Willie Mitchell.
Willie Reed Mitchell.
Willie Mitchell. From the LA Kings, the Stanley Cup champion.
The LA Kangs.
LA Kangs, that's right. Speaking about Kangs and Quangs and the NBA, we talked about the WNBA just a little bit.
That speaking of Kings and Queens and the NBA and... Dude.
You talked about the WNBA. I'm all over the place. Relax.
I got you.
Unless they all went to the Sacramento Monarchs. But the WNBA draft was just a couple weeks ago. And the top three picks were the most visible and the best players in college basketball.
Yeah, I think it's a statement to the fact that, like, this is almost the equivalent to the LeBron James draft.
In 2003.
Yeah.
Well, they would say, same thing you talked about. Like, if you think about the draft that had Rebecca Lobo, Cheryl Swoops, and Lisa Leslie, and this is equivalent to that.
No, definitely.
Because it was the beginning of the WNBA. And so when you get Brittany Griner, Skylar Diggins. And Elena Deladon coming out and being the top three picks. This will maybe mark a new era for the WNBA. They changed their logo.
Yep.
And I don't know. In a way, I think the opposite, actually. They were more famous in college than they will ever be in the WNBA.
Without question, because the profile for college is way bigger than... But this is an opportunity for them to take it to another level. All cliches. Because they're never going to be bigger than you are in college. All
right, but will the WNBA be bigger? Because if Brittany Griner makes the Dallas Mavericks...
That's not going to help the WNBA.
Okay.
I think it'll help...
The visibility
of women in sports, but I mean...
Is this a gimmick? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying it.
But if she can play, and she plays for both of them, that's a big deal, yo.
Well, what I can tell you is that even on a bullshit scale contract in the NBA,
she's gonna make way more than she makes. That's up, why they all go to Europe. But
gotta big up Kale Alexander from Syracuse, drafted 8th.
I knew you were gonna say that
because she's Canadian.
Look at this dude with the fingers and everything. But you talked about, I guess, what could happen with Brittany Griner and possibly being able to traverse both the NBA and WNBA. Mm-hmm. What would the NBA be like without Kobe Bryant in LA?
That's inconceivable, my friend.
I know you're a big Kobe fan and LA
fan. But even taking myself out of it, I mean... There's a big thing, like, there's a thing to be said about players playing their whole career with one franchise. And obviously, with contracts and whatnot, I mean, Reggie Miller was the last one to do it. To play his whole career with one team.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I'm trying to think of anyone of note.
I can't
recall. Yeah, it doesn't happen that often.
Like, anyone of a stature that played with one team.
This guy's given them championships. He's played through injuries. He's done it all.
Who are you, his PR agent?
I'm just saying the facts. You saw the Nike ad. Whatever. Okay. So,
count on Dwayne.
Amnesty?
What the fuck?
Amnesty?
All right. Here's the thing. With amnesty, because he's in the last year of his contract, it makes more sense than if he was in the middle of it and they tried to do it. Again, we have a lot of slippery slopes today.
Yeah.
but, you know, if they do it and they don't pay Kobe this year, that's going to be beef because when he comes back, he's going to be like, yo, you owe me $30 million, yo. And he's never going to get that if they cut him.
How much did Michael Jordan make in his last season?
Like $33, $34 million.
Right. And why did he get that money?
Because that was his retirement pay.
They're paying him because they didn't pay him all that stuff before.
And I'm not saying, advocating for advocacy or for advocacy, for amnesty. But it makes sense from a business perspective. If he's going to be out, they say 6 to 9 months. That's going to be longer. It's going to be a year.
You know what, though? If this was a smaller market team, whatever. If this wasn't the LA Lakers who just signed that ridiculous TV deal.
They're willing to pay the price.
Why am I going to sacrifice when this team is known to spend money when it needs to? So why would I?
I'm not saying that Kobe has nothing to do with the decision that they make.
Right. But
Jim Buss runs the front office. That should be enough for you.
You're right. But my point is that if they make that decision based on money, trying to save money, he'll be like, fuck you.
Not even about saving money, but it's about, okay, say they beat the Spurs.
Okay.
In this playoff series.
Right.
And they make it to the Western Conference Finals. Did you just spit up everything you just drank?
Almost.
Anyway, if they make it there with Dwight Howard, they have to think about how they're going to sign Dwight and then younger players for a stronger bench for next year.
Let me ask you a question. If they make it to the Western Conference Finals, see how funny it sounded? Do you think they're a better team without Kobe Bryant?
No, that's stupid. But here's the word. Team. Right? Do they have a better chance of winning with Kobe Bryant? Absolutely. Are they a better team without Kobe Bryant in situations and dependent upon who they're playing? Yes, they are.
The Kobe fan is here. For everyone who says Kobe, first of all, you saw scoring-wise he did with the old legs, whatever. He tied a career high averaging 6 assists a game.
Hey, so I think I talked to you about this before.
On that other show?
Yeah, on the other show. One-on-one with Willem Dafoe, only on TSN 1050.
Also available on
Stitcher Radio. You're stupid. But I've never appreciated Kobe, and I really never have.
Right.
I've always respected him.
Yep.
This year I have an appreciation for what he did to do whatever was necessary to help his team get the... Why couldn't he have played like this for 17 years? I guarantee you there'd be no Jordan conversation if he played like this for 17 years.
Agreed.
I no Jordan conversation.
Agreed, but he'd be a different player.
Yeah, you know what? He's still... So he's different now? Or he's just playing with everything he has and understanding that whatever the team needs for him to do, and that when they need him to be the bailout score at the end of the shot clock, he can still do that. That's not different. That's a smarter Kobe. That's all it is.
Okay, so like when he was playing with Smush Parker and...
Don't put it on Smush Parker. No,
Kwame Brown and who else? Who's that?
What's your point? Slava Medvedenko.
There was another guy. Chris Mims.
Come on.
Chris Mims. You supposed to tell these guys up?
Hey, LeBron James made it to the NBA Finals with Eric Snow as his point guard. Next, speaking about the playoffs.
All right, speaking about Cleveland. Let's talk about Cleveland.
Nope.
The same coach who led them to the finals is back in the seat again.
It will probably lead them right into Lake Erie. Mike Brown, congratulations. You are caking off money because you're still getting that Laker dough.
And you get some Cleveland
dough. And you're getting that Cleveland dough. 4 years, $20 million. And Dan Gilbert, the Bob Arum of NBA owners, has come out and said that the only reason they fired Mike Brown in the first place is to appease LeBron. And then LeBron left anyway.
Right.
Like, that's such a Comic Sans move right there.
Oh, brilliant. I like that one. Nice touch. Nice touch.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Byron Scott, wrongfully dismissed?
No.
Why is that?
He wasn't the coach to help them move to the next level. He wasn't the guy that Kyrie Irving respected to the degree that he could totally lead this team. And once you see Kyrie Irving, and this is what tells me everything I need to know about that. He skipped the last event they had to do as a team. The most visible star skips the event because he doesn't know if they're going to keep Byron Scott or not. I don't care what he says about, oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. There's no reason. Everybody showed up except the top guy on the team.
Well, no. They didn't leave the court.
No.
He left the court.
Listen. No. All right. This is a thing after the game
was over, and they all stay on the court to give away their, you know, like it happens in, you know, last game of the season, salute the fans, throw stuff in the crowd. He left the court as soon as the game was over because he was pissed off.
Yeah,
because Norris Cole stripped him.
Hey,
I'd be mad if Norris Cole stripped me too last
night. No, Norris Cole's doing his work, and he's from
still
Cleveland.
Norris Cole.
So?
Anyway. So he went to the locker room, he was pissed off, didn't come out. But you're blaming that has nothing to do with Byron Scott.
You see, I'm trying to create a narrative here.
Well, he wrecked your narrative by saying, oh, I learned so much from Byron Scott, it's sorry to see him go.
But that's that bullshit, because when they ask him about Byron Scott earlier, he's like, you see what I'm saying? He did not come out and endorse him. And that's the kiss of death for Byron Scott. But does Mike Brown present the same? No. Because if he didn't win with LeBron, and Kyrie Irving is no LeBron, he's not going to win with Kyrie. And there's no way that Kyrie Irving, you know, they were talking about LeBron coming back in 2014. If Phil Jackson is in Cleveland as the coach and general manager instead of Mike Brown and Chris Grant.
You're awful.
The possibility that LeBron could come back is immensely higher, even though he is very loyal to Pat Riley.
It's higher,
and
but
you
how
know,
much higher
Pat Riley and Phil Jackson do not get along.
No, of course, but it's how much higher is it? Because you're talking to a guy who would probably have won 3 championships before the contract's over. Like, to go to Phil Jackson, no disrespect to Phil Jackson, who I have a lot of respect for, but it's like, oh, what are you going to, you know what I mean?
And I live in Miami, yo. That's, yeah. I'm hustling backwards if I go back to Cleveland. I need to be able to recruit people to come to Miami. And Kyrie Irving, his rookie contract, the team owns a team option next year to create an extension for him. I don't think he's going to sign it.
Well, on this Cleveland
not team, with Mike Brown.
Do you know who is the second the player in the league with the second most blocked shots this season? Like 16% of their shots were blocked. Not like he missed them. Were like blocked by defenders. Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
How is a 6'9 guy and he only
with hops, supposedly.
Getting shot blocked. Like, I mean,
he played against Larry Sanders a lot. My guy, Larry Sanders.
Any way to throw Larry Sanders in this?
No doubt. Hey, man, the playoffs been great so far. Best games I've seen already. Of course, the Denver Golden State game with Andre Miller doing old man work.
Yeah, and see, like veterans show up for the playoffs. He's been playing solid for them. He had 18 points last night.
And those two games, well, not two games, but the game two of the Grizzlies and Clippers. Chris Paul, that finish.
Yeah.
Tony Allen was in his shit.
And Tony Allen had a good game offensively. Yeah. Tony Allen, he was playing for that squad.
Tony Allen had a tough game. He's the heart of that team.
Oh, for sure.
And Chris Paul, just a great player, hit a great shot.
That's what happens.
I'm excited about the Western Conference playoffs. So far, the Eastern Conference playoffs, whatever. I like Miami, had to turn the heat on, literally. At the fourth quarter to go up to nothing.
I feel like it's fool's gold with New York. New York's looking so good right now, but when they face a team like...
Money is fool's gold, and it's part of it is Boston talking all that shit like, we're going to get to the conference finals to play Miami. No, you're not. You can't even beat New York. You can't score over 80 points. I think they scored 79 and 71 points in two games so far.
And this is like...
anemic.
And not even... Yeah. It's sad.
But I am very happy for the Golden State Warriors who, channeled their old Run TMC.
Rising through adversity.
Oh, wow. 130-plus points in the playoffs.
Well, it's funny because they bring back the small ball.
That Don Nelson.
But the thing is, you know what? These guys are actually are better shooters than those guys even.
Oh, wait. Steph Curry's the best shooter I've ever seen in my life. And that's not hype.
He's
the best shooter I've ever seen in my life.
It's crazy.
It's not just jumpers. It's how he can create as well.
Bounce, whatever.
And you know what? What the reason that they're the way they are, and that win told me a lot more about Mark Jackson than it did about Golden State as a team.
Yeah.
Because they trust in him. Like, have you ever listened to his huddles?
Yeah, dude. It's their sermons.
Yo, he's like, for real. I love you. Like. And they believe.
And you know what's really funny is, like, I really questioned Mark Jackson. Not even before the Golden State gig, there was another job that he was, like, getting to the running for. And I'm like, why the fuck are they talking to this guy?
18 years as a coach on the floor. College at St. John's, he was that guy.
Yeah.
And he watching from the sidelines as an analyst for ABC and ESPN. Plus, if you think about it, put it in perspective, for a second-year coach – to have a team with four rookies, three of them who play, and your all-star is injured, and you're in the playoffs, and you're not like, they slipped a bit, and they were sixth seed, but they made the playoffs. Yeah. They didn't make it like Milwaukee made it. They had a winning record, and they competed in a very tough Western Conference. That's a testament to Mark Jackson's show. Shout out to him, who didn't get a lot of Coach of the Year votes.
No, he didn't. Unlike Jamal Crawford.
Well, you know, it is.
I mean, sorry, Jordan Crawford.
Why did Jordan Crawford?
Jordan Crawford got a first place vote for Sixth Man of the Year.
Who did that?
They don't know, but they think someone named Jamal Crawford and put Jordan Crawford in my
bullshit.
Because the Boston beat writer said, I didn't vote for him.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's get into a little baseball, yo.
Okay.
There's a young man, and shout out to Magnum Prime on Twitter, our guy, who sent this story about Cilento Sales, who has a national record for stolen bases in a single season.
No relation to Soupy Sales.
Did you really reach with some old-ass reference like that?
Oh, my God. You got it.
Yeah, I did.
This one is just for you.
Right. But Cilento Sales, I wonder if he was related in any way to, like, Stromile Swift. Because where the fuck do they get these names from, yo?
Yeah, where's he from?
But anyway, let's not slander the young man. He stole 103 bases, which is a single season record for high school. And with a name like Cilento, he's definitely not white.
Definitely.
And this speaks to a greater issue.
Oh, I see even what issue, you did there.
But how Bud Selig, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, has issued a task force to, I guess, look into why there are not more African Americans playing baseball. They're at a low of 7.7%. And there are four teams that don't have one African American. I'm not talking Afro-Cubans or Ugandans who will soon be in the league. But four teams in Major League Baseball do not have an African American player. That's crazy.
That is crazy. I actually thought, I was like, what's up with the white players? But they're doing okay. They're doing better than black players.
Well, you know, it's always the man trying to keep us down. No, I'm just playing. The fact that he's having a task force about this, you know what it really speaks to. That's all cosmetic. The reality is that, as we said on the last show, black kids are finding different ways to earn money because it takes a lot of patience to be a baseball player.
Yep.
Going through the farm system, finally getting a call up. Like, yeah. It's not like the NBA where you can go in.
Or even or in even football, where you can have a great college year and then go to the pros. There's a process.
Well, you have to be at least a junior. So you redshirt. But even then, like, you're still just 21. You're not, you know, 27 coming up to the, you know, Major League Baseball.
It's very tough to fast track in baseball.
It is. It is. You know, unless your name is Bryce Harper or someone, you're not going to come up like that. And I think that kids just, you know, how many pickup baseball games do you see in the inner city?
Next.
Right. So this, I don't know what the purpose of the,
I think
task force, but what do you think? What are you saying?
Well, It's obvious, but like for the same things we talked about, he's got to figure out how can we get kids back into baseball.
In the inner city. Because it's not like rural kids, you know, and it's even great.
Well, maybe Cilento's from Mississippi. So.
Right, and if you think about the all-black outfield, and we asked about this, if it mattered a couple of weeks ago, that B.J. Upton and his brother Justin and Haywood in the outfield, the Atlanta Braves Falcons.
Braves, I got you.
God damn it.
Yeah.
If they matter, and apparently they do to some degree because they're hitting and they're doing big things, does it matter to these kids? Is baseball fast enough in the microwavable world that we live in today?
I don't think it is.
So, well, best of luck, bud. Football, man.
It's coming up, man.
I know the draft and everything. It's up tomorrow. But the people who are set this lawsuit, the class action lawsuit against the NFL, may have a case to point to in that even though they don't use Riddell helmets in the NFL.
They did.
They did one time. And the Riddell helmet company just lost a lawsuit in Colorado.
How much money was that for?
$3.1 million, or 27% of the $11.5 million in damages that were awarded to Rhett Ridolfi. When he had Rhett Butler. Dude, his name is Rhett.
Cilento sales, R's, S, what's that, Hughes?
I know, right? Who sustained a head injury and was paralyzed on the left side of his body during a football drill in 2008. Several of Ridolfi's coaches were also found to be negligent. And
get off the hook.
Yeah, they don't have to pay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess they tried to say there were no design defects in the Riddell helmet, but it's true. And apparently because they were awarded the victory. And it's, if you think about it, it's a small thing, right? But how they will use this case to speak about what's going on with the class action suit. Mm-hmm. Will be damaging to the NFL.
Yeah, I think, you know, a company like Riddell, it's like, that's like, you know, crashes, dummies and car safety and seatbelts. That's the equivalent. Like, this is like, you have to make sure your product is, you know, like, crazy glue when the guy fucking sticks his helmet and shit.
That's an old-ass commercial, yo.
I'm on some shit today. But you got to be at the most, there's no room for error.
No doubt.
As you can see. Yeah. And they're paying the price for it.
Well, it's you know what? That had happened for a high school player. I can see some of the arguments that they don't get the top shelf equipment that the NFL players do. So it's not an equivalent charge.
I'll give you the equivalent because high school kids got high school body kids running at them. NFL players have superior athletes.
Look at you with your law skills. I see what you're doing, money. It's all good. Well, you know, we had talked about this earlier as well, the NFL draft coming up. And I think that people are so concerned with, you know, someone coming out as gay in the NFL. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago with Brendan. I can't say his last name ever. Obadanjo. I always mess his last name up. He played for the Ravens last year. I think he's a free agent. I am Badejo. Well, I'm done. Close enough. Done. I always mess up his name. But anyway, I guess he was going to lead a charge of players because there were at least four who were going to come out as gay. Why do people care that much? Again, but it's
my only thing is like we talked about this before. It's like, hey, they don't set it up. You know what I mean?
Like that's what it is. This sounds like a PR move.
Yeah.
As opposed to really just letting them come out like Brittany Griner, who came out
also casually.
Yeah. Not that we didn't kind of know.
No, but it came out in passing. You know what I mean? And it wasn't like I have an announcement to make. It just like,
well, can we say that maybe Brittany Griner, hers was political and money related as well?
You think so?
Let me ask you this. How much money could she have made when she was in university talking about, hey, just be who you are, I'm out, whatever. How much money? None. But the day she gets drafted was the day she comes out and says she's gay.
Yeah, but I think
I'm just saying she can make money now.
Okay, but she can make money if she came out in college and still was a proponent for gay rights, gay lesbian rights.
She could make the money while she was in school, like Johnny Manziel could make money for football.
She couldn't. But if she was, that was her belief and she stuck by it and still was a proponent for that.
I'm not saying that was the plan. I'm saying
it was strategic.
No, I'm not saying that it was.
Let's get into the way the question was asked though, because it wasn't like, hey, are you gay?
Right.
It was really interesting how that kind of came out because I can't remember the exact question, but it almost made me feel like, why would you even ask?
Which that now has you thinking maybe it was strategic. Are you thinking about it?
Who did the interview?
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
Right? I think it was Sports. Yeah, because you're talking to the three of them. I don't even know if it was a sheet. The interview, we're talking to the three of them.
But just the fact that, again, now you're no longer a college player. And even though you could have done something when you were in school.
You know what? I don't think.
I'm not questioning her motives.
I know,
I'm saying that is a real possibility if you look at it that way.
I don't think.
Let's ask the people.
Let us know. AllBallsDon'tBounce@gmail.com. ABD Media. Hit us on Twitter. Hit us on Facebook. Do you think that she used her sexuality as a way to garner potential endorsements? Listen to how crazy that sounds. Obviously, you know how I feel about it.
Well, Ellen DeGeneres is now doing Maybelline commercials. Not to say she's not a woman.
She's doing CoverGirl.
Is it CoverGirl?
It's okay.
That, you know too much.
Ellen DeGeneres is on in my house. That's how I know these things.
Ah, see?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It's some makeup. Not to say she's not a woman, but I think that a big part of that is because she came out and everything, and that people are like, we're all women, we use makeup, whatever.
Well, what about Queen Latifah as a cover girl who has it?
Same thing. Out? Well, what makes you, again, again, we're getting off topic a little bit, yeah. But the fact of the matter is that people are so concerned with this whole thing about whether someone's gay or not, that we're getting off into these conversations.
I know.
And at what point did we talk about sport?
Let's talk playoffs.
Well, let's playoffs. You're talking us make the playoffs? Dilly poo.
You know what you always did though? You did the ultimate mashup, right?
Right.
As soon as you do playoffs with a question mark,
Jim Mora,
you're jumping up
Iverson and Iverson.
You can't help it. It's like every time we hear playoffs, we're talking about playoffs. Like, wait a minute, it's a mashup.
No doubt. But the college football bowl series is no longer the college championship bowl series or whatever they call it. We now have a 4-team playoff.
Right. Which I'm excited about. Why? I like the idea of playoffs. I don't like rankings and this team playoffs.
Okay, so basically we're just going to have the SEC championship all over again because all the best teams are in the SEC.
But they're not having the SEC championship because there's no true playoff championship. Like, it's not like they're playing each other. They play the season, they rank them, that's what it is. They're actually playing.
All right, so winner, the rankings.
When they go home.
All right, and the rankings in the top 10 of every football season since, 2007? Because SEC teams has won it every year for the past how many years?
That's fair. That's fair. But what I like is it's like, I don't want to say Final Four or whatever, but it all depends on that game. And we know,
pyramid scheme, you know it.
Any given Sunday, anything can happen.
Blah, just vomited everywhere. But one, they play on Saturday. Two, if they do it like this, and it's rotating to the highest bidder. That's why they haven't named it
yet. Oh, I know. That's why I'm waiting for that.
So everything speaks to more money, more money, more money for the NCAA and their outsourced BCS system and nothing for these players. Again, it's some bullshit. I hate it. I don't care if it's, you know, the playoffs or not. Just let it be a national championship. I just want to see somebody playing the Sugar Bowl or the Rose Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl and that be the championship game and that's it. All this is a way for them to make more money, more money, more money. Speaking about who's about to not have some money, some money, some money is the bad boy, Matt Mitrione, who was suspended for talking about our girl or guy.
Oh.
All right, that's foul. Let me pull back.
Bad guy.
Fallon Fox, yep. We talked about on the show, the transgender fighter from Florida, who mm-hmm. fights in Florida. Matt had some...
He said, she's not a he. He's a he. He's chromosomally a man. He had a gender change, not a sex change. He's still a man. He was a man for 31 years. 31 years. That's a couple years younger than I am. He's a man. 6 years of taking performance-enhancing drugs. You think he's going to change all that? That's ridiculous. He went on.
What? Wait, this is what... I don't think that's the thing that got him suspended. This is what got him suspended. That is a lying, sick, sociopathic, disgusting freak. Come on, man. You lied on your license to beat up women. That's disgusting. So in a way, I think he was feeling like he was being heroic.
Right.
And, for all the women chivalrous.
Who were defeated by this man.
But there's a way to go about it, Matt. So, yeah, and again, this is really a tough thing to talk about because, you know, when is it acceptable for someone who wants to change their gender to be accepted as the other gender, whether it's just in regular life or in sporting life?
Yeah, ultimately, that's a very, very fair question, but his comments were not... the voice of reason on that.
Come on, dude. He's the dude who gets punched in the head for a living. Who's listening to him?
Well, no one will be now that he's suspended.
Well, whatever. We talked about the shift earlier mm-hmm. with Ronda Rousey
yeah.
hosting or coaching the Ultimate Fighter. And I think that even more female boxers, now that there's no more Christy Martin or Leila Ali or someone like yeah. that, and that the kind of novelty of women's boxing is dying, more women are shifting to the MMA and doing mixed martial arts, including Holly Holm, who is...
What's with all the people with the same continent starting the first and last name?
Hey, I don't know. Holly Holm and...
Celestial Sales.
Yeah, I know, right? I just realized it. It's very good. Anyway.
Ronda Rousey.
I know, right?
Gosh.
So, you know, when you see that fight between Ronda Rousey and Liz Carmouche, I think that sparked a lot of women who boxed. And they're like, I mean, and Holly Holm had fought MMA yeah. Before as well. She's 3-0 in MMA bouts. She was 2-3 in boxing. So, you know, it makes more sense. I'm sure that as the appeal for women in mixed martial arts grows, you know, these kinds of fighters will be more marketable. But, you know,
if you think about it, like, obviously that Rousey victory was kind of a watershed moment for women in sports because I would almost dare to say that, obviously, women's and men's tennis is the probably bar in terms of equality in a sport, in terms of, you know, money and then perception and, you know, viewership and stuff, whatever. I don't think there's any sport you care to, you know, basketball.
Right now, the women's tennis is way more popular than men's tennis.
Yeah, exactly. So, can I venture to say that women's MMA could be second in that regard, from like the next biggest women's sport?
It could be on a professional level. even more so because it's a physical sport, like a combat sport, where, you know, boxing, it's not cool to watch them do that. And maybe, you know, guys who spend all their money to go see the Jello wrestling at the strip club will come and actually see some women grapple for real, for money and for prestige and fame in MMA. So congrats to her. You know who I'm mad at?
You're always mad at this guy.
I can't
you
stand
don't,
him.
You don't like him.
Chael Sonnen's a dick. He went on ESPN and he was interviewing with Sage Steele.
Yeah.
And the first thing he says to her was, "Can I touch your hair?" Okay. What the fuck, Money? If I was producing that show, I'd walk out from behind the camera and punch him in his face.
You were mad at Joe Namath when he pulled that shit.
That's because he was with Susie Colbert. He was drunk. Sonnen wasn't drunk. He might have been roided up.
Right.
But this was a white man and a white woman. You know the politics behind black women and their hair. Okay. And Sage Steele played her part. She didn't get out of bounds with it. She actually let him touch it. That, to me, was a violation. Yeah. He's supposed to be promoting this fight this weekend between him and John Bones Jones.
Hold on a second. Chael Sonnen did. He got out of you exactly what he wanted.
Oh, he didn't get it out of me.
A reaction. If you got up there and didn't say that, you would be like, Money. Chael Sonnen's going to get his ass kicked. Boom, boom, boom.
He's going to get his ass kicked regardless.
I know, but he elicited a reaction out of you.
And that's good because he's going to make more money. And that's great.
And that's what he does.
The Skip Bayless of mixed martial arts.
And that's the reason why he has this fight. He has no business being in the ring with John Bones Jones right now. And, but he does because of this kind of stuff.
He's going to get very, very hurt.
He's round for round. Did you read that?
What?
He's like, oh, people say that he's Silva's pound for pound the best fighter or whatever, but that round I kicked his ass. He beat me for 30 seconds. I had his ass round for round. I'm the best fighter.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever.
Maybe for one round.
You're going to get turned into the ground round against Johnny Bones Jones. But stepping out of the octagon and into the squared circle, I always hated that phrase or that term, the squared circle. Shout out to Gordon Solie from World Championship Wrestling in Atlanta.
Did he start that or just...
Gordon Solie. No, he's always the guy.
Got you.
But there's a fight going on in Argentina this weekend as well. There's a lot of boxing and fighting that's going on this Saturday.
A lot of cards.
Arguably the third best fighter or fourth best, depending upon who you know, who you talk to. Fourth best boxer in the world, Sergio Martinez, is going to have a fight in his homeland of Argentina versus Martin Murray.
Another double M&M. It's like, you know.
But it's a lot of crickets behind his name. Like, who the fuck is this dude?
Yeah, Martin Murray. It's like
for a guy who wants to be recognized as the top pound-for-pound fighter in the world, fighting Martin Murray is not the way to go about it.
Oh, I know what Martin Murray's name is in Portuguese. Is he Portuguese in Argentina? Because you know me, I'm the linguist with the countries, right?
No, just in Brazil. Frank? They speak Spanish in Argentina.
Spanish, thank you. See? I don't know if I spoke Swiss. Tomat de can?
That might be French.
Yeah.
But supposedly, he's a tough guy.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll find out. But
well, Martinez says he won't hear the bell. He won't hear the final bell in this fight.
So that means he's going to knock him out, as he should.
Right.
What will be a good tilt this weekend, another fight that's probably more anticipated, is the former undisputed welterweight champion of the world, Zab Super Judah, versus Danny Garcia.
Can I ask you a question?
You did.
Thank you. You're the boxing aficionado, obviously.
Yeah, something like that.
How can you be the former undisputed?
Like he was undisputed and he lost.
So someone disputed that. I'm just asking.
Anyways. I think that was going to... You know, Danny Garcia beat Amir Khan.
Right.
And he's a legitimate champion. So is Zab Judah. He is definitely over the hill. He's not a Floyd Mayweather, but he can cause some problems. It's going to be at the Barclays Center. Ganny is from Philadelphia, said he has more fans in Brooklyn than Zab Judah, man, who is straight up Brooklyn all day. And Zab goes, oh, really? You got more fans in Brooklyn than I do? I'm more Puerto Rican than you are.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're going to see.
Did he also tell me he's a better being a human being than he is?
No. He didn't do that one. He owed Richard Sherman for that one.
Exactly.
But that's going to be a good tilt this weekend. I hope so. But what happened last weekend in San Antonio, almost 40,000 in the Alamo Dome, got to see Saul Canelo Alvarez defeat Austin Trout to unify the super welterweight belt at 154. And now is Canelo for real? Do people believe that he can get the ring since he had never really beaten anyone of note?
Right.
Trout was a champion who had beaten Cotto. Now he wants Mayweather next. It probably won't happen.
Right.
Because he came into the ring, even though this is a 154-pound match, at 172 pounds.
Wow. He was working for
Floyd Mayweather has never weighed more than 155 pounds in his life. So there's
let me ask you a question because you're the boxing aficionado.
Yes, sir.
Is there a window or a ceiling or a range?
Yes, and he will create a stipulation in the contract if they do fight.
Right.
That he can't come in bloated.
More than.
And Floyd is probably going to play him because Floyd has all the cards here.
As always.
Canelo will say, come up to 54. You're a 54 champion. You beat Cotto. Floyd can easily say, okay, I'll fight you at 54.
You can't walk
but in the you ring. But you can't weigh more than 160 pounds in the ring.
Right.
He won't make it.
Exactly.
He'll be so hydrated because he was even tired. He's 21 years old. He shouldn't be tired against Austin Trout. If he thinks he's tired against Trout, Floyd Mayweather is going to run circles around him and beat him up ridiculously, much like he will do on May 4th against Robert Garcia, or I almost called him Garcia, Guerrero.
Yeah.
Which means warrior. Did you know that?
I didn't. I'm not up on my languages that much. So.
Well, you know.
I'm learning, though. I'm learning.
I've been watching the All Access on Showtime.
Right.
And supposedly, Canelo Alvarez will be at the fight to watch Floyd and Guerrero do their dance. But you know, there's like kind of a thing around Canelo, the Canelo curse, where he so shows up at fights for the guy he's supposed to fight next, and that guy loses. So
he's like a bad luck charm.
So maybe it's a good luck charm. Maybe Robert Guerrero should probably pay all of his expenses.
He needs all the help he can get.
Yeah, because Floyd's the truth. But, you know, we're definitely going to talk about this fight a little bit more. There's no more that we can say about Floyd that we haven't already said because so many, as he says, 43 has tried, 43 has failed. There's no blueprint to how do you beat Floyd, right? So, you know, it's whatever. And we talked about the possibilities. There's Timothy Bradley. There's, you know, I don't think anyone wants to see him fight Marquez again, even though Marquez has an impressive knockout victory over Pacquiao. Pacquiao's not in the mix now because Floyd, like, you lost your last two. Why should I even fight you?
Yeah, you should pay me.
You know, so there are a lot of possibilities that will happen after May 4th that we'll find out, including the fact that now just signed, or just agreed to in principle, Timothy Bradley versus Juan Manuel Marquez on September 14th, which is Mexican Independence Day, or Floyd Mayweather Day, again.
Of course.
Because he will take that date. But Bob Arum, Sideshow Bob, tried to, you know, flip it and tell the story like, oh, well, you know, we don't want to have a conflict like we did last year, so we'll move it. But, you know.
Right, I remember when that happened.
Yeah,
right,
but, yeah. The way he tried to flip it, though, it would. You know, it made me mad, but it's Bob Arum.
It's Bob Arum.
You know?
Wait.
He goes, if Mayweather is going to fight on September 14th, we'll move our date. This prevents anybody from baiting and switching on us. Really? We talked to the pay-per-view industry about it. Nobody's looking to make trouble.
Wow. Why is he being such a...
Because it's bullshit.
He's just pretending to be like accommodating and a nice guy, but
He's not, because he knows he can't compete with Floyd Mayweather.
If Floyd goes on that day, and he's going to fucking move his shit because he will lose.
The fact that he is moving this shit means something.
He's
the fact that he couldn't convince Manny Pacquiao and Marquez to fight in September tells you a lot about Manny Pacquiao, whose contract runs out at the end of this year with Bob Arum. So Bob Arum is going to throw Pacquiao in the ring with either Mike Alvarado or Brandon Rios, two guys who fight at 140. You know, nobody cares about that. They want to see Pacquiao against the best. He's done. And so effectively, just like Don King is done, Bob Arum is on his way out. And guess who else is on their way out?
Before you get to your beautiful segue, you know in 70 episodes, Pacquiao and Mayweather have never fought.
And they probably won't fight for the next 70.
And we won't fight either.
Well, yeah, we do a little bit.
We disagree. We don't fight.
We have two opposing viewpoints.
Yeah, but we keep it moving.
No doubt.
Definitely let us know your thoughts. We talked a lot of gender issues.
Yeah.
A lot of names starting with the same letter.
Well, yeah, what is that? Is that a homonym?
No, homonym is...
No, wait.
It's not alliteration, because alliteration's a literary... But it's similar. Anyway.
Why am I... I'm supposed to be the same tactician.
I have three super sales out there, too.
I know. See, what the duck?
That was crazy. You caught it. That was the crazier. But definitely hit us up, allballsonbounce@gmail.com. Get at us on Twitter at ABD Media, as well as Facebook for the footnotes so you can see who super sales is and the crazy glue ad with the guy's helmet glued to the beam. Check us out on the iTunes store, as well as
Stitcher Radio.
So for myself, Dwayne Sweets Watson, a.k.a. Swiss Franks.
I am the entrepreneur-millionaire, Wall Street Will Strickland, telling you, and Rich Kidd, who was nominated for a Juno out in Saskatchewan this weekend.
The Canadian Grammy.
Yeah. He didn't win.
No.
But he's always a winner in our books. Rich, do that thing you do. All balls don't bounce. Part of the Gone Network. Easy.
Put your game face on, get ready for the tip-off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show, we bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause we speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports, so what's popping? It's four corners of absolute rawness. It's if you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's.